Ladies, Vaishnavis.
Sargo Nichan Karmani Karyati Kosakara Ivatmanam Karmanachadya Muyati. Koshakara evatmanam
Dehi, the embodied soul,
Agya,
without perfect knowledge,
Ajita Satvarga,
who has not controlled the senses of perception and the mind,
Niichan,
without desiring,
Karmani,
activities for material benefit.
Kayate
is caused to perform.
Koshakara,
the silkworm.
Iva,
like.
Atmanam,
himself.
Karmana,
by fruit of activities.
Achadya,
coving.
Muyati,
becomes bewildered. The foolish embodied living entity, that's you and me, at least certainly me, the foolish embodied living entity, inept at controlling his senses and mind, is forced to act according to the influences of the modes of material nature against his desire. He is like a silkworm that uses its own saliva to create a cocoon and then becomes trapped in it with no possibility of getting out. The living entity traps himself in a network of his own fruitive activities, and then can find no way to release himself. Thus, he is always bewildered, and repeatedly he dies. Also, you say, the foolish embodied living entity, inept at controlling his mind and senses, is forced to act according to the influence of the modes of material nature against his desires. He is like a silkworm that uses its own saliva to create a cocoon and then becomes trapped in it with no possibility of getting out. The living entity traps himself in a network of his own fruitive activities and then can find no way to release himself. Thus he is always bewildered, and repeatedly he dies. Purport, short purport. As already explained, the influence of the modes of nature is very strong. The living entity entangled in different types of fruitive activities is like a silkworm trapped in a cocoon. Getting free is very difficult unless he is helped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Aginata Marandasya Gyana Ganasa Lakaya Chakshushu Militan Gina Tasmade Shi Gurave Namaha. It is a very apt analogy. You picture this, picture the worm thinking he's making a nice, comfortable home, nice, flat, duplex, condo with a view. But what happens as a result of that? His hard labor, he's working hard for a particular desire. I'm building myself a nice house, I'm protected. Fantastic. What happens? He can't get out. And then what happens? Anyone know what happens to anyone wearing non-ahimsa silk? What happens to that little silkworm who thinks he's very happy? Where does silk cloth come from? Oh, help me out here. Huh? Silkworm. And how does the silk come? We've got the cocoon, right, with a worm, and we have a silk dhoti or sari. Now, there's an interim process. What is that interim process? Anyone know? Huh? They throw him in boiling water. I mean, ahimsa silk, so-called, they wait till they eat its way out, you know? But when they eat their way out, it damages the thread, It's much more efficient. They just throw them in boiling oil and it kills it, boiling water, and the thread unravels. So although he thinks he's creating a nice house that will protect him, what actually happens is he's creating his own death, his own dissolution, his own suffering. So, well, I guess I'll say this. There was a, somebody mentioned yesterday in class, you know, a merry-go-round? You know, they have, what do they call them in America? I mean, a carousel or merry-go-round? There's a big fair in San Diego, California. Del Mar Fair. We've done books there at the Del Mar Fair. And they have a famous big carousel. And it's all brightly colored. It has so many horses on it. And, you know, elephants and giraffe and, you know, swans that fly. And the little kitties get on it and they're so happy. And it plays happy, happy music, isn't it? Some happy, happy, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, you know, and everybody's all happy, happy, happy. And it goes around and all the parents wave and everybody takes snapshots. Sounds great, doesn't it? It's a very happy ride. In the same way, we're thinking, we're riding in this world. Prabhupada was in Shevet Hills in a park. Got out of his car. He would always walk clockwise. This particular day, he decided to walk counterclockwise. And Prajapati Prabhu, who used to be a Shakespearean actor, said in his thespian voice, "I say, Srila Prabhupada, when we walk in the park and see all the objects from a different direction, it seems to be a brand new park." At which time Prabhupada burst out laughing. Prabhupada said, "This is material life. It is simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in so many different bodies. But according to the body, we see it from another angle. Eating, sleeping, mating as a squirrel, as a dog, as a cat, as a demigod, as whatever it is. It's the same thing. But we see it from a little different angle, a little different body, a little different, and it appears to be a new thing." So in this way, we're riding on this wheel of samsara. Now back to our, and we think it's a great, we're having a good time. Every time, hey, it's brand new, you know. So these kids, picture the happy scene, all the parents, you know, taking snaps, not taking snaps nowadays, they all get their phones, so they're, you know, whatever, everybody's doing it, you know. Little kids are waving when they go by. The Ferris wheel, the merry-go-round, the carousel broke. And it kept speeding up. And they couldn't stop it. And the kids were going around and around and around. The parents were freaked. The mothers were trying to get them off. Kids were going around somewhere. They were throwing up all over everything. It's a true story. They went around for 40 minutes. You know? Anybody enjoy that ride? When they finally managed to stop the thing? Anybody, little kids say, "Oh, I want to go again. Oh, God, I'll try it again. Another one." It was a horrible experience. That's what's actually happening to us again and again, around and around and around. So, I'm just thinking of the time factor. It happens imperceptibly. Anyone know the shape of an arrow? You know how an arrow is shaped, right? Picture an arrow head, right? Now, they're not dummies. You know, generations, lifetimes of honing down the design. Why is an arrowhead shaped like this? Now, I imagine it's aerodynamically sound and it can try less wind resist. Okay, fine. So, but once it hits its target, can anyone help me out why the arrowhead is shaped like that? Very good. You're on the right track. Say it first. Yes. Now that's the first half. Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. First half is it very easily goes in, isn't it? Okay. Whoosh, it goes in. Now what is the next step? It is very difficult to pull out, isn't it? It's got those hooks. It's harpooned. It's in. It'll rip out flesh to pull it out. In a similar fashion, sense attachment is very, it happens very quickly. We hardly realize it. Contemplation of the senses attachment develops, you know. By that simple, we get deeply attached. And then when we don't even realize it. And then when you try to pull out that, it becomes very difficult. So we need to realize, I don't mean to scare you, but we are in a very difficult, dangerous place. That's a fact. This world is not a nice place. One of the first things one of the devotees said to me, Sukadev Prabhu, I can never repay him. I was living in California in Laguna Beach. I was 17 years old. Everything was just great. Young body, bright material future, sea breezes blowing, fantastic. He came up to me and began explaining, you know, birth, death, wheel of samsara. I said, look, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Maybe you had a rough childhood, but things are great for me, you know. So, you know, just take your bad news somewhere else, you know. You know, like they have a bumper sticker, those who say money can't buy happiness don't know where to shop. So I was thinking, well, maybe it's not working out for you, but, you know. And the devotee said to me, as he left, realizing that I was an arrogant fool, he left me with a sutra. He said, you know one thing about this world? I said, yeah, what's that? He said, nobody gets out alive. And it just spoiled everything for me. That rattled around in my brain. Everything I tried to get into, I thought, oh man, it's temporary and nobody gets out alive. It's fantastic. Spoiled my, that one mantra. We don't realize the power of the effect of a devotee, the power of the association of a devotee, the benefit that we can actually give people. Just a little bit of Bhagavatam. They don't hear anything. Just completely rattled my cage. So, so it's imperceptible. We become attached, we become entangled, we think we're in a great situation, but this is actually a very dangerous world. And we cannot blame Krishna for our difficulties. We become entangled. It's, you know, it's describing becoming the cocoon. What is that cocoon? It's a fantastic example from the Bhagavatam. Anyone know what that cocoon of the silkworm is made from? Says right in the verse. Saliva. And where does that saliva come from? The worm himself creates that cocoon. So we create that, our own difficult. We are the captains, creators of our own fate. Can't blame God. Can't blame anybody else. We created the situation that we're in. There was an old prophet's joke. There's an old man, not old man, well, old is relative. He's 60 years old, so not that old. Has, you know, a third of his life left, perhaps. And all of a sudden, cerebral thrombosis, you know, he has a stroke or a heart attack or whatever, he dies. And he goes before Yamaraj, and he says, where's the complaint department? I want to file a complaint. Now, you're all going to see the Vishnu Dutas, so, you know, but if you're ever in that, I do not recommend that you argue with Yamaraj. It's not really a good career move, you know. But anyway, he wanted, where's the complaint box? So Yamaraj was, you know, concerned. He's trying to do a good job in this service of the Lord, managing the renegade souls. So he said, well, what's the issue? You know, you can tell me. No need to fill out a complaint form. Just tell me right now. And the guy said, well, listen, you know, he said, you know, you just yanked me out of my life and I didn't get a chance to get my granddaughter married. I had the money saved for the big wedding and I didn't get my dimwit son-in-law out of my will and, you know, I needed so many things. You didn't give me any warning. That was his complaint. The gist of his complaint was you didn't give me any warning. Yamaraj was apologetic. He said, but I gave you gray hair. I gave you glasses. I gave you a cane, you know. So it all ends the same. The story, you know, there's a devotee in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is the movie capital of the world. And he's wants to become a famous, well, and we wish him good luck. Maybe he'll be the one who finally does the Ramayana right, you know. So he wants to, he's learning how to do, he's taking film at USC, one of the best film schools in the world. He's taking screenwriting. You know, you write the story for the movie. And he said, you know, the interesting thing is, there's only about 7 stories. You know, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Man is successful, loses success, gets success back. You know, there's only so many stories. The hero, you know, and you have to throw in a good villain. You have to have some setback. Then you have to have ultimate success. Movies without an ultimate success, they don't sell. You got to have a happy ending, right? Sunset, boy kisses girl, you know, $1 million check comes, everybody's happy. So we're all on the same ride. It's the same basic story. But we're thinking it's brand new. We're thinking it's fresh. And Yamraj is giving us a clue. They were mentioning about sports. I think yesterday Rohini Sutta was talking about, Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. He drove past, it's a big golf course. Beverly Hills Golf Course, one of the fanciest in the world. Prabhupada said, what is this? They said, Prabhupada, they play golf. Prabhupada said, what is that golf? They said, well, they take a little white ball and they knock it into a hole with a stick 18 times. Prabhupada said, it's simply been created by old men to waste time. That's all it is, just wasting. We're simply fiddling while Rome burns, as they say. So the example Chanakya Pandit gives is that the bee works very hard, right? They say in America, busy as a bee, to make a bee line, you know, that you don't waste time, zzz, you're completely, bees don't loiter. You never see the bee, you know, hanging out, having a cup of tea and, you know, chit-chatting about the news. They're absorbed. And what are they absorbed doing? They're making honey. Isn't it? It's all part of you get the pollen, do the thing, maintain it. Whatever their particular specifics, the delivery is make honey. They don't even get to enjoy it. What happens? The beekeeper comes and smokes them out, takes the honey, they don't even get to taste it or enjoy. So think about it. All of us, we are working so hard. Materialists, certainly. And what is it for? Death comes, takes it all away. We don't get to enjoy it. The dimwit relatives who inherit the thing, and they don't get to enjoy it either. So if Chanakya Pandit says, and Prabhupada quotes, one should never give up the permanent for the temporary. Anyone know the rest of the sloka? One should never give up the permanent for the temporary, which everyone in this world is doing. Permanent means sat, that which has eternal value. So you should never give up the temporary, and never give up the permanent for the temporary. Why? Anyone know? Chanakya Pandit says you'll lose both. The temporary you're going to lose anyway. So you give up that which is permanent. This human form of life is art to die. It can give the greatest gift. We could actually, I was looking at the backdrop, I think it was yesterday, there was a nice Vrindavan scene, and there was one of them had a beautiful lake, and the other, it's beautiful. Very well done. Looks like you, and the deities, of course, were dressed gorgeously. Looks like you just walk right into the scene. Well, guess what? We can. We can just walk right into that scene. We can leave this material world. What is it like? Lightning and illumination appear simultaneously. Just waiting. Why are we staying in this nasty place? We can just walk right into that beautiful scene. Prabhupada said, you just like waking up from a dream. Oh, and there you are, and you pick up right where you left off. Notice I said left off, back to Godhead. That's another issue. But so, it's right back where you left off. So that is the purpose of the human form of life. The Bhagavatam gives, I was thinking about some of the examples. Prabhupada tells it's Prabhupada's story. There is a woodcutter who goes out to the forest, you know, chopping wood for fuel, selling, that's his business. And he goes out to the forest, and, you know, it's hard work, and it's hot, and he's So he just sits there, it's the middle of the day, you know, Indian sun, baking sun is there. So he thinks, I'm taking a break. He's leaning against the tree thinking, this is really, you know, If only this wood would stack itself. And lo and behold, zip, all the wood stacks itself. He thinks, wait a minute, I may be sitting under a kalpa vriksha. So let me do a field study. He says, all right, axe, chop more wood. Whoosh, the axe flies through the tree. It starts chopping wood. He thinks, fantastic. He said, it's hot. I want a nice pandal tent. Poof, nice big pandal tent. But, you know, you can't enjoy alone. He says, bring some beautiful women. Beautiful women. Bring some music. Bing, beautiful musicians. Oh, some snack items, isn't it? Get us some snack items. So big trays of all kinds of snack items. So he's having all his friends are there, beautiful women, music, and he's just enjoying like anything. And he doesn't know that time is passing. You know, what is it, you know, when you're having a good time? Time flies when you're having a good time. Time flew. Sun starts to set. Just without thinking, he said, oh, the sun is setting. I'm out here in the forest. Surely a tiger will come and eat me. And guess what happened? Because he said it under the kalpa vriksha. Whoosh, tiger came and ate him. In the same way, we have this human form of life. We have some time. We have some energy. We have some intelligence. And we're simply playing. And that which is inevitable. Just like death is, just like the night is coming, death is inevitable. And all of a sudden, whoa, what happened? Off we go. So it is a great tragedy. I was thinking it says against our will, how we're forced to act. So, and Bhagavatam gives an example, because what can we say? One has to have sufficient brain substance, sumedasa. It just takes a brain. It takes a brain to see short-term benefit, long-term benefit, prayas and shreyas. That is human form of life. If we have a brain, we just have to think about it. No, anybody here like to be cheated? You like that experience of being cheated? I remember, because it was traumatic in my little childhood brain, the first time I was cheated, consciously cheated. I was probably cheated many more times, but that's the one I remember. My mother, I have an older brother and an older sister. I'm the baby in the family. America was a safer world in those days. So my mother had us, we went to a movie theater. And in those days, you saw two movies. There was an intermission. There was a cartoon. There was a newsreel. You were out of the mother's hair for a good 4 hours. She could do all her shopping or errands or whatever she needed to do. And it was a safer world in those days. So my older brother was there to keep, you know, an eye on us. So my mother dropped us off at the movie theater. And as she gave me 25 cents, which for a kid in 1956 was good money. And I remember, and she told me, you buy whatever you like. You buy yourself some snick snack. And I could hardly wait for intermission. And I had my little money burning, you know, a hole in my lusty little hand. And I remember looking at all the different snack items. And I, you know, was calculating which is the biggest, which is the thickest, which is the longest, which will, you know, how will I get the biggest bang for my buck, as they say. And after making all the calculations and finally coming to a hard, you know, huge decision, I selected something called an almond joy bar. Because it looked the biggest, it looked the thickest, it was covered with chocolate. Oh, what's not to love? And I gave the man my 25 cents. Maybe it was 15 cents. I think I had enough money for a drink as well. So I was in material heaven. I ripped open the candy bar, and what the? You know what came out of the package? Two little candy bars. Turns out it was on a cardboard tray. It looked big, but I thought, what? I said to my brother, I want my money back. I've been cheated. You know, I told the guy I've been cheated. He said, well, you opened the pack, buddy. You know, too late now. And I thought, wait a minute. I just been hosed. I've been cheated. And it was the first time I realized that not everybody in the world has my best interests at heart, you know. But Krishna gives the enemies in Bhagavad Gita. One of those enemies, it's our own mind and our own senses. It's right inside. There's a devotee, I won't mention his name, he's a really nice devotee. He's a very sweet, very humble devotee. He and I were on traveling Sankirtan. So, you know, we were traveling in a van together, selling books by Krishna's grace. And we would get up for Mangal Arati. You know, 4:30, take a bath, bucket of water, you know, the old days. And we were sitting in the van. I was offering the arati. He was, you know, playing kartals. And he kept falling asleep. In fact, I went to pass the ghee wick, and he went to smell it. I said, whoa, whoa. You know, he was thinking it's like the flower. I said, so after we finished, I almost said his name. I said, Prabhu, I said, what happened? You are wiped out. He said, oh, I couldn't sleep at all last night. I said, why? He said, I was too cold. He said, the window was open in the van. I said, well, why didn't you get up and shut it? He said, I was too tired. Think about it. He sat there for 6 hours, cold, but too tired to get up. You know, the problem would have been solved in 5 minutes. But we've all been in that. I'm not making fun of him. We all have been in that situation. The mind is still, no, too difficult, too hard. Don't, you know, so many examples. And because of the time factor, but I'll tell it, because it's a Prabhupada story. You know the story about the green coconut kachoris? All right, we're going to recycle it. Evidently, there's a Bengali preparation made of green coconut, made of green coconuts. You know, kachori, nice. Prabhupada kachori, mukhi. It's a nice prep offered to Krishna. It's very nice. So evidently, but if you make it with green coconut, it's a type of filling. Very tasty, very luscious. But, as with all things in this world, if you eat too much, it causes horrible indigestion. So, our friend, Mr. Mudha, he's at a wedding, sits through the whole thing. They say that there's a mantra at a wedding. The bride is looking at the groom. He's so handsome. The groom is looking at the wife. She looks like the goddess of fortune. The mother is thinking, I hope he has noble character. The father is thinking, I hope he can make money. And everyone else at the wedding is thinking, when do we eat? It's truth, actually. So this man, Mr. Mood, is thinking, when do we eat? And sure enough, it comes time. He's sitting down, serving out all the items, and they're green coconut kachoris. His mind tells him, fantastic. When was the last time you saw green coconut kachoris? Immediately the guy takes one. The mind says, like I said, when was the last time you saw green coconut kachori? Have another. Immediately he eats another. The mind then says, two's an inauspicious number when eating. Better you have three. I mean, the mind cheats in so many ways. And the poor Mr. Mudha, all he's trying to do is pacify this mind that is hounding him all the time. He thinks, I'll give the mind another kachori to leave me alone. So Mili has a third kachori. Then the mind says, as long as you've had three, you've thrown caution to the wind, you might as well have four. So in this way, the guy gorges so many green coconut kachoris. And he goes home.
Hello to you.
He goes home thinking, fantastic. Lays his head down on his pillow. He's dreaming green coconut kachoris, kijai. And in the middle of the night, he wakes up. Oh, he's got a horrible pain in his side. And that same mind, who to please the poor Mr. Mudha, was put in this position. That very same mind says, you idiot, what'd you eat so many for? You follow? And we're all like that with the mind and with the senses. So the simple point is that they have that saying in America, fool me once, shame on you. Like when I was a little boy and they cheated me. Okay, that's wrong. So cheat me once, shame on you. Cheat me twice. What is the other saying? Shame on me. We should learn. And I'm speaking to myself. We should learn that it just doesn't work. There's so many examples. The bull. Mukunda Dutt Prabhu was telling me that he was in that little shop or whatever that little shop is. And there was a bull on the outside of the window, must have been extremely hungry, watching everything going on. So Mukunda Dutt is a soft-hearted Vaishnava. Of course, Vaishnava means soft-hearted. But anyway, he bought a bunch of bananas. So he took them outside to feed the bull. But the bull was so hungry. The bull came right up the steps, right in the door with both horns, and he's, whoa, you know? In other words, a big bull, if you can't stop a big bull. You know, you see those in New Vrindavan, those brown Swiss? I mean, they're huge. And when that bull wants to go wherever it wants to go, you can't stop it. Prabhupada said in the same way, the living entity, the unfettered freedom of the soul, we are actually free. We don't have any, no sojate, no kanchate. We don't have any hankering, any lamenting. We're free from fear of death. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. It's meant to put an end to the cycle of pavarga. Hey. Hare Krishna. That's our position. But how does the... You ever seen in Mayapur? And maybe here, but certainly I've seen in Mayapur, big bull, little boy. How is he controlling that bull? Anyone know how he's controlling that bull? No, it's not a whip. No way. That they can shine on that whip in a second. Huh? Feeding? Okay, that's a good guess. What's the Bhagavatam example? He puts a ring through the nose. And evidently the septum, or that part of the nose, whatever it's called, is very sensitive. And the little boy can pull, and immediately the bull will go. And I've seen it. You've all seen it many times. Little boy pulling a bull. The bull is like five times bigger than the kid. So we are free. We are meant to simply be happy. Prabhupada said, if you eat prasadam, he gave an example of prasadam. If you eat off a diseased person's plate, what happens? Ladies, if you eat off a diseased person's plate, what happens? You catch that disease, isn't it? And every disease, it has symptoms, isn't it? Fever, cold, headache. With the disease, particular set of symptoms. So Prabhupada said, what's happening when we're taking prasadam? We're taking off Krishna's plate, isn't it? Well, if you eat off Krishna's plate, Prabhupada said, you will catch Krishna's disease. And what is that disease? Every disease has symptoms. Prabhupada said, Sat Chit Ananda. And then Prabhupada, just to frost the cake of the Kavi poetic example, Prabhupada said, and if you catch Krishna's disease, there's no cure. So that disease, it's there for us. Sat Chit Ananda. It's right there. But like a bull with a ring through the nose, we're led this way by the false ego, by the pride, by the mind. So we should become righteous anger. There should be. Nobody likes to be cheated. And when the siren call, it's one of those wonderful purports of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada calls the material nature the siren call. The sirens were from the Iliad or the Odyssey, I forget which one, but it's, Odysseus? Who's the guy? The hero of the, whatever. Yeah? Anyway, there was, in the Greek mythology, there's an island, and it was inhabited by the sirens. And they happened to be women, for women it could have been men, just don't go off on the gender thing, don't get hung up on it. They happened to be women, beautiful women singing sweetly on this island. And the sailors sailing by would be so attracted that they would sail towards the island uncontrollably. They could not resist. And they would crash onto the rocks and perish. That's the Greek mythology. Now, Odysseus, I think that's his name. Yeah? So what he did, he wanted to hear this. So what he did was he had all the other sailors fill their ears with that wax so they couldn't hear. He had them tie him onto the mast. And he had them sail close to the island. And when he heard the beautiful sound, he became mad. He was saying, you know, untie me, I want to go. They couldn't hear him, they ignored him. He said, you know, I'll kill you all. He was enraged. But when he sailed further, got out of earshot, he realized, I would have jumped off the water and into the ocean, off the boat, I would have killed myself. So that moment of resistance saved his life. In the same way, Krishna gives example in Bhagavad Gita. Water, you know, the rivers enter into the ocean. You want to do something on your computer, Google a picture, get a picture of the mouth of the Amazon River. taken from a satellite. Okay? Satellite picture, Amazon River. It's very brown. Now, this is taken, those satellites are hundreds of miles up. Whatever it is, they're way up there. And, you know, you can see the whole continent of South America. And you can see the Amazon River going into the ocean. There's a whole area for miles off the coast. It's completely brown. So can you imagine the volume of water that is flowing into that ocean? And add up the Mississippi, Nile, Amazon, what to speak of Mother Ganga, the Irrawaddy. There's so many. Think about it. Just take a minute. Think about five or six of the huge rivers and imagine how much water is pouring into the ocean. And you walk on the beach and the ocean doesn't move a foot outside of the tidewater. The waves wash up, the waves wash, but it doesn't. People build right on the coast. But how is it that so much water is flowing into the ocean and yet it doesn't move? And Krishna's example in the Bhagavad Gita is that the senses, so much is flowing into the senses, but one who's a dhira, one who can control the senses, he's undisturbed. So if we can just have that moment, this is the senses flowing in, this is the ego flowing in, this is the mind, this is lust, our old friend. Let me just tolerate. Prabhupada said, you know how you measure a person's strength? Ripley's, is it Ripley's, Believe It or Not? In Ripley's, devotees send me stuff, and I'm grateful for it. They send me stuff, all kinds of. There is a guy in France who can pull a train, not the whole train, but the locomotive, with his teeth. Takes him a while to get it going, but he can pull it. I mean, can you imagine the guy's strength? So how do we, you see those guys, they're going to be gorillas in their next life. Those guys at the Olympics. There's no question of where they're going, you know? No doubt about it, you know? Gorillas or elephants or bulls. Probably gorillas. So, how do you measure strength? Prabhupada says, the measure of a person's strength is their ability to tolerate. To tolerate. So we should have the combination of righteous anger. I am not going to waste this human form of life. I am not going to fall for the same stupid trick again. You cheated me 1,000 times. You're not going to cheat me this time. I'm going to give this life to Krishna. I'm going to become Krishna conscious. I am going to leave this place where nobody wins, everybody dies, and I'm going to dance into the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And if you look at the cover of Bhagavatam as a sidelight, 1970, I'm sitting in Los Angeles as a bhakta, trying to be a bhakta. Someone asked Prabhupada, innocence, Prabhupada, I like the pastimes of Krishna, but I also like the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. When I go back to Godhead, I don't want to have to choose. You know, will I be in Krishna's pastimes or will I be in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Prabhupada's answer was, have you seen the cover of the Bhagavatam first canto? If you look at the cover of the Bhagavatam first canto, you will see, you know, the whole, as a sidelight, I was, when I looked at the Bhagavatam and read the cover, this is before I was, you know, knew much about Krishna, hardly anything, frankly. I knew Bhagavad Gita a little bit. If you read the cover, you look at the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam and then the first canto, and you read the dust jacket, you know, the text there, the entire tattva of all existence, phenomenal, noumenal, material, spiritual, everything is explained. The entire material world, the Brahma Jyoti, all the heavenly planets, upper planets, lower planets, all the Vaikuntha lokas, Krishna loka, full, fuller and fullest, you know, what is it, the Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, the whole thing is there. I remember thinking, I haven't even opened the book. And the cover of the book has exceeded everything, every book of knowledge I have ever read. And I haven't even opened the book. So we should remember what we're getting in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Profound. So anyway, but if you look at the cover of first canto Bhagavatam, you will see Radha and Krishna dancing in the whirl of the lotus, and you will also see Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Kirtan. Prabhupada said, you can have both. You can be in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna Lila simultaneously. Prabhupada, when he was reading Krishna book, when the Krishna book first came in Los Angeles, Prabhupada would, in the evening, instead of Gita class, he would read Krishna book to us. He told us it could be dark, it could be nighttime and daytime simultaneously in Krishna Loka. And then Prabhupada finished. He was getting to walk out. You know, the temple room, it used to be in the old temple room. Prabhupada, the door was right here. Prabhupada was walking out to go up to his quarters. You know, we just had our minds completely blown. Daytime, nighttime, Simon, Lord Chaitanya, you know, Krishna, all, you know, wow. So we were, you know, stunned. Prabhupada turned back, smiled, and he said, yes, if I told you everything, you would faint. So that's what's there, right in our hands. If we use this human form of life properly, the, I guess, because it's coming time to close. Prabhupada gives another example. There was a king who somehow or other he got it in his head to feed all the lazy men in his kingdom. You know, he had money to burn, as they say. So he wanted to feed all the lazy men. This is Prabhupada's story. He wanted to feed all the lazy men in his kingdom. So he set up a big pandal tent, made nice, tasty khichdi, fried eggplant, threw in some paneer. Way to go, right? Prabhupada said it's a beggar's banquet, khichdi. So many people showed up. It was going to break the king's treasury. He thought, well, these can't all be genuinely lazy men, you know. Some people, there's a freeloader is taking advantage. So he asked his prime minister what to do. His prime minister said, light the tent on fire. Huh? So he lit the tent on fire. You can imagine, big pond lit the tent on. Everybody ran out except for two guys. One of them said to his friend, you know, this tent's on fire. His friend said, just turn your back. You know how if there's a fire, you just turn the... He said, just turn your back. This khichdi is so nice. So the king concluded, if you're too lazy to run out of a burning pandal, you're certified lazy. Everybody else can take care of it. We'll feed these two guys. Everybody else can take care of themselves, you know? We won't run out of a burning tent. This material, samsara, Buddha's firesome. The tongue is on fire. The eyes are on fire. The ears are on fire. All the nine senses, all the gates, they're on fire. The city is on fire, and we won't run out of it because we're too damn lazy and attached. And we're cheated again and again and again. So, on that happy note, Vaisheshika Prabhu told me, one of the great saintly personalities on earth, ISKCON has so many nice devotees when you think about it. You know, it's like the ocean of milk. So many nice temples, devotees. It's just amazing, actually. So Vaisheshika Prabhu, one of those moons in the ocean of bhakti, from the ocean of bhakti, he told me, he was in Japan one time, and there's a devotee there, nice devotee, I forget his name, I'm embarrassed to say, and he always gives a nice sutra answer when the person on the street will ask, what does this mean, what does that mean, you know? So the person asked him, what does Hare Krishna mean? And Vaish told me that the devotee said, it means I need help. And if you think about it, on one hand, you know, we're please let me get a, you know, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in devotional service. We need help. If we accept that, we're not going to conquer this material nature. We are being, I saw a picture, and I someday when I have time, I'm going to find it again. It was a picture taken by the U.S. Navy. They go out and save ships that are in distress. You know, this ship was in the middle of a hurricane. And this was a big trawler. You know, this big oil, I don't know if trawler is the right word, but it was a big, big freight ship. Big. You know, I mean, from the back of the Krishna Balaram all the way across this, you know, bigger, you know, huge, a couple city blocks. And the thing was in the middle of a hurricane. And it was just, it looked like a tiny little drop. The waves were, it was one of the most frightening things I've ever seen. I couldn't imagine what it must have been to be on that boat. You know, just this huge ship, just being like a little flotsam and jetsam, like a little piece of wood being tossed by this ocean.
It was frightening. I thought, whoa. We are like that. We are being tossed, Prabhupada said, on the waves of the ocean, tossed left and right. Again, it is a very dangerous situation, as we said in the beginning. And the Bhagavatam gives the example of the silkworm. It gives the example of the bull with the ring through his nose. Another classic example is the camel chewing thorns. You know what the camel is going through? You want to know what the camel's psychology is? The camel is thinking, boy, this tastes great. If only my mouth didn't hurt. I'll go back, wait till my mouth feels better, heals, and come back and have another snack. You follow? The camel doesn't make the connection that the thorns are actually the cause of his suffering. He thinks that, oh, the blood and the mix of the leaves tastes very nice. Oh, if only my mouth didn't hurt, I could really enjoy. But he doesn't make the connection. We don't make the connection. It doesn't work. So the I guess it's time. We should recognize, and I'm speaking to myself. We should recognize our position. This material world is compared to a deep, dark well. There's so many, where do you want to go in the Bhagavatam? There's so many examples. Nowhere do they say that it is for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, time to end. We'll wait till it's done. If you fall into a deep, dark well, you cannot get out on your own. That's the first thing to accept. An honest analysis. I'm in, and I can get Acme Jet shoes. I can try so many things. I'm not getting out of here. How do we get out of a well? Yes. Yeah, but what do they do? What, generally speaking, how are they? Exactly so. They lower a rope. Now, picture, here I am. Well, they lower a rope. The rope is necessary, but it is not sufficient. You follow? The rope in and of itself will not solve the problem. What also has to happen? You got to grab onto it. We have to take the initiative and hold on. Mataji told me, she's at a Pandal, South India. Some man, Indian, could be Indian, Western, whatever, doesn't matter, grabbed Prabhupada's feet, said, oh, Swamiji, Swamiji, save me, save me. Prabhupada said, yes, I can save you, but you must do the work. So the fact of the matter is, we're sitting here. We're in Krishna Balaram Mandir. We are 99.9% home. All we have to do is just not blow it. Prabhupada said, if you're on a boat, whether you're in the bow or the stern or the bilge or in the crow's nest, wherever you are on that boat, when that boat sails into the harbor, you land, ashraya, you've landed in the safe harbor. If we just stay in the boat of ISKCON. One man said to Prabhupada, oh, can you tell me about the pastimes, Leela of Krishna? Prabhupada said, this ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna, and he's come again to save the world. Just stay on board the boat. Find some humble service. You don't like this place? Fine, go somewhere else. You don't get along with that person? Fine, go somewhere else. If you move 5 or 6 times and find out you can't get along with anybody, hey, guess what? You might be the one with the problem. That's another issue. But everybody can find a nook, a corner, a creek, somewhere that you can engage in Krishna service and push the wheel forward. Push the Sankirtan mission forward. Everyone put their shoulder to the wheel and push the mission forward. And if you do that, this life will go by just like that. I'm going to end, I promise. I went back to my high school reunion. The devotees convinced me to do it. I didn't want to do it, but they were right, too, actually. It's a long story. That's a whole class. But I remember how amazed they were at what had happened in my life. Just being a devotee. Places I've been, people I've had people shoot at me. I've had, so many things happen. Not devotees, those were the karmis that shot at me. So many things. They were shocked. And the caliber of happiness, their happiness is they make it to the mall and back with the GPS. That's their success, you know. So if you think about the happiness, Prabhupada said they never experienced the taste of raising their hands and saying, Nittai Gaur Hari Hari Bol. That simple relief that let me just drop it all. Let me just be Krishna's servant. No conditions. Nittai Gaur Hari Hari Bol. They never tasted that. So, just everything is there within this movement. Everything, we are 99.9% there. Just, we have to not be cheated. Don't be cheated, don't be fooled, don't be waylaid, and just stick to the course. And before we know it, like lightning and illumination simultaneous, back home, back to Godhead. And nothing can beat that. So we should end there. Thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hey Govinda.